Well, good morning. My name's Jesse. It's really good to see you here this morning. I've been looking through John 11 and I've been really excited by some of the things I've been discovering in there. So I'm looking forward to getting stuck in with you this morning. But let's begin in prayer. Our Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Gospel of John. We pray that you would teach us by your word. Please give us ears to hear and hearts which are willing to be moulded by you. We pray it for the sake of your glory. Amen. Well, my wife Amy, who is English, made a great observation a few years back. She observed that Australians are outgoing and can be aggressively friendly. The Brits are reserved and hard to make conversation with. But it takes just as long with both of them to form deep relationships. I'm told there are certain things you don't discuss in England or Australia unless you've formed a deep relationship with that person. You don't talk about what someone earns, and you don't talk about death. Well, you'd be glad to know I'm not going to ask you what you earn, but there is the thing today we need to talk about, which is grief and death. John chapter 11 shows us a tension that Martha and Mary faced. And we all face this tension at some point too. Do we believe Jesus is the resurrection and the life in the midst of grief and death? For if we do believe and hold on to our faith, we bring glory to God. But before we go any further, it's important that we recognize that some here today will be grieving someone who is physically dead. That our experiences of coping with death are often complex. And that death can consume our thinking and cloud our thoughts. One commentator put it this way: in times of bereavement, present sorrow dims the prospect of future bliss. So my prayer is that as we seek to understand this morning's passage, we'd be encouraged to believe in the face of death, especially if we are grieving. First point on your outlines this morning: glory to God through Martha's faith. Much of the chapter actually revolves not around Lazarus, but around Martha. And what stands out is this tension that Martha and Mary are called to believe in Jesus, the resurrection and the life, while their brother is cold and dead in the tomb. But it's actually worse than that. It's much worse. There is a real sense of injustice in Lazarus' death. In verse 3, the sisters send a desperate message to Jesus: Lord, the one you love is sick. Their only hope is Jesus, who loves them. But Jesus didn't respond, not for another whole 2 days. Let's have a look at a map to get a sense of where we are. So here is a map of the region. At the end of John chapter 10, we are told that Jesus was in Bethany, where John had been baptizing. It says, so he departed again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing earlier, and he remained there. Lazarus is in another town, also called Bethany. This Bethany is near Jerusalem. It says, now a man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Here's the thing. Jesus made a decision not to make the journey to Lazarus, but to remain where he was. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was, and then after that, he said to his disciples, let's go to Judea again. What? Jesus didn't get up and run to Lazarus? He didn't make haste? Jesus deliberately stayed 2 more days in Bethany on the other side of the Jordan before leaving? I thought he loved Lazarus. I'm assuming if I start talking about Seinfeld, there'll be a few of us that still know what I'm talking about. Seinfeld is an American comedy show. There's one character in Seinfeld called Elaine. Now, Elaine is this great character who's a New Yorker, and she's a little bit wobbly, a little bit left of field in the sense that she seems to kind of fumble through life, not getting stuff quite right. So in this one episode, Elaine is going to the movies with her boyfriend. And she gets to the movies and she's there waiting in the foyer. And she gets news from a staff worker at the movies that her boyfriend has been hit by a car on the way. And it's only minor injuries, but her boyfriend has been taken to the hospital. So there Elaine is standing at the movies. She's been told the news. She goes to walk out of the cinema to see her boyfriend in the hospital. But then she catches in the corner of her eye the candy store. So she turns around, she quickly grabs herself a packet of sweets, which she just loves, and then she goes to the hospital to see her boyfriend. The issue was that her boyfriend found out, and needless to say, he wasn't impressed. Martha and Mary faced the death of their brother Lazarus, but Jesus didn't come straight away. It's no surprise then that when Jesus does come, they both exclaim to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." I think we often ask the same question, don't we? If you had only intervened, God, how could you let this happen? I wonder if we believe in the face of death. Well, despite Jesus' delay, we see Martha's faith. In verse 20, when Martha hears that Jesus is coming, she goes out to meet him. But more significantly, we see Martha's faith as she talks to Jesus from verse 21 to 27. Have your Bibles open in front of you and your outlines. Verse 21 to 27. Even as Lazarus lies in the tomb, dead for the last 4 days, Martha says, "Yet even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus tests her faith further in verse 26. Look with me. "Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, ever. Do you believe this?" Can you see this vivid contrast? Jesus is talking about life, but Lazarus is there dead in a tomb. It's striking. But what is incredible is that while Lazarus lies dead, Martha says, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Martha is clearly putting her faith, her trust in Jesus. Yet, it's important to note that I don't think she expected Lazarus to be raised. Later in chapter 11, she tries to stop the stone being rolled away from the tomb because she thinks that Lazarus is already decaying. And also, the Jews believed that after 3 days, the deceased person's spirit left their body. We are now at 4 days. I think there is no hope in Martha's mind that Lazarus might be raised in this life. But even so, she trusts in Jesus. But what does Martha's faith achieve? We are given the purpose in verse 4. "This sickness will not end in death, but is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Quite simply, Martha's faith in the face of death brings glory to God. How? She brings glory to God as she puts her faith specifically in the Son of God, in Jesus. Martha's faith is not a general faith, it's not a non-specific faith. It's a faith in the power of Jesus to bring life. Look with me at the rest of Martha's response in verse 27. "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world." Martha's response unmistakably identifies Jesus as the promised Son of God, the promised Messiah who comes into the world to give life, giving him glory. But it's not only Martha's faith which brings glory to God. Point two on your outline this morning. Martha's faith is vindicated when Jesus raises Lazarus which also brings glory to God. Jesus says to Martha in verse 40, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" He stood in front of the grave, ordered the stone to be removed, and called out. Now just imagine here for a moment with me. They're standing there in front of the cave. The stone has been rolled away. Everyone is standing there together. And Jesus calls out, "Lazarus, come out!" And everyone pauses. What's going to happen? And then they see Lazarus wrapped head to toe in white linen grave clothes. He is hobbling and dazed by the sunlight. He can barely walk and probably can't see. Everyone is breathless. He has come out. Jesus says to them to untie him and let him go. It's extraordinary. You see, Jesus has deliberately constructed an event where Lazarus has died in order to bring glory to God. And to emphasize this, Jesus thanks the Father in verse 42, just before raising Lazarus. Jesus is drawing attention to the inseparable unity between himself and his Father as he raises Lazarus. Many of the Jews saw this, they believed, and they brought glory to God. As I was looking at John chapter 11 this week, one verse really stood out to me, which I love, and it's verse 48. I think it's so telling. It says this, "The chief priests and the Pharisees exclaim, 'If we let him continue in this way, everyone will believe in him. Then the Romans will come and remove both our place and our nation.'" Even Jesus' enemies couldn't dispute that he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And even they had to acknowledge that on the basis of this sign, everyone will believe. Yet still they didn't believe that he was the Son of God. Martha believed. Martha's faith was vindicated. Glory to God. So returning to the big idea, God takes the glory from Martha's faith. God takes the glory when Martha's faith is vindicated and Lazarus is raised to life. But God also takes the glory when we put our faith in him. The next point on your outlines, our faith. We stand on the other side of an even more extraordinary event, namely Jesus' death and his resurrection. You can actually see it coming in John chapter 11. Death is just about to lay its hands on Jesus. The chapter starts and finishes with predictions of Jesus' death. Have a look with me. The start. "Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil." Now, Jesus himself said that Mary anointed him with oil since it was a preparation for his burial. And at the end of chapter 11, Caiaphas prophesies that, "You're not considering that it is to your advantage that one man should die for the people rather than the whole nation perish." The chapter, John chapter 11, begins and ends with prophecies of Jesus' impending death and burial. And yet, in the middle, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead and claims that he is the resurrection and the life. Yes, indeed, from our position, we know that death couldn't hold Jesus and that he is the resurrection and the life. But do we believe Jesus is the resurrection and the life in the midst of grief and death? And if we do, what does that actually look like? I think in this passage, Martha and Mary provide helpful insights in believing in the face of death. So we're going to have a look at a few of those. First, we have to keep our faith in the midst of grief. We should be prepared for that. It's interesting to me that Martha believed before Lazarus was raised from the dead. "Yes, Lord," she told him, "I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God who comes into the world." She believed even in the midst of grief. Indeed, that is the decision we are faced with, isn't it? Are we to believe in the face of death, even when we don't exactly know how Jesus will bring life? The good news is that John wrote his gospel to give you confidence to do just that. And it's really striking to me that Martha's statement of belief reflects so well the purpose of John's gospel. So, John wrote in chapter 20, "But these signs," the signs of Jesus, "are written so that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name." And then Martha's statement of belief reads, "I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world." At some point, we are all faced with this question. But we can have confidence, even in death. The second point, we grieve because Jesus is waiting. You see, Jesus waited to raise Lazarus from the dead. And while he waited, Mary and Martha, in a very real way, grieved. Their grief was genuine. It was painful. They cried. They had lost their brother. Similar to Martha and Mary, we live in a time when Jesus is waiting. It's called the last days. As Jesus waits, we continue to live in a time of grief and death. And so sometimes we ask ourselves the same question that Martha and Mary asked. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Or, "How could you let this happen? How could you let this happen to my brother, to my sister, to my father, to my mother, to my friend?" Martha and Mary were grieving their brother's loss. They didn't understand why Jesus had delayed, but this did not limit their faith in Jesus and his sovereignty. Our awesome hope in life does not mean that we don't grieve, but it does mean we grieve with hope, with assurance of life. So in loss, allow time to grieve. Comfort those who grieve, cry with them, and encourage one another in grief to keep your trust in Jesus. And third, Jesus himself was deeply moved by Lazarus's death. Indeed, Jesus actually loved Lazarus. It tells us that in the passage. We don't put our trust in a God who is callous or detached or dispassionate. In verse 33, Jesus was angry in his spirit and deeply moved. In verse 35, Jesus wept. In verse 38, it says Jesus was angry in himself again. He is angry in his spirit and angry in himself at the state of humanity, of those around him under the grip of death. As the resurrection and the life, Jesus' very purpose stands opposed to death. We trust in Jesus, who also grieved over death. And I pray that this gives you assurance and comfort in a God in whom we place our trust. He knows the depth of your sorrow and your anguish. Bring it before him. Pray to him. Friends, we have the most awesome hope for our friends and family who believe, for ourselves if we believe. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe in the face of death?" "Yes." Jesus said, "The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Do you believe in the face of death?" "Yes." Jesus said, "Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, ever." "Do you believe in the face of death?" "Yes." And as we believe, we fulfill the very words of Jesus. "This sickness does not end in death, but is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." We've seen God's glory through Martha's faith. We've seen God's glory through Martha's faith as it was vindicated. And we've seen God's glory through our faith. Our final brief point this morning, God will take glory when our faith is vindicated. When Jesus raised Lazarus, he shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" Likewise, when Jesus raises us on that final day, the second coming, he will call us out of the graves with a shout. Have a look at these verses with me. John chapter 5. Do not be amazed at this, because the time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Or 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Your faith in Jesus will be vindicated. And when Jesus returns with a shout, you can be guaranteed that there will be no question about who is the resurrection and the life. You can be guaranteed that on that day, even in the face of death, we will have life. And you can be guaranteed that it will be for the glory of God. I'm going to finish this morning with the words of Revelation 7. Blessing and glory and wisdom, and thanksgiving and honor, and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.